When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The official Brighton and Hove Albion podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Paul Heywood here with Glenn Murray. Hi, Glenn, are you okay?
Yes, all good, thank you. I'm looking forward to our conversation today. We have our first team goalkeeping coach, the brilliant Jack Stern.
Jack grew up an Albion fan in Sussex, having moved to Heathfield at the age of 8. He was an academy player at Wimbledon and played for Burgess Hill Town and Lewes. But it was his decision to transition into coaching at the age of 21 that kick-started his impressive journey.
Today, we'll uncover the secrets of Jack's coaching philosophy, his insights into the unique challenges faced by goalkeepers, and how his love for Brighton Hove Albion is shaping the future of goalkeeping at the football club.
So this is a poacher-gamekeeper podcast. We've got the poacher Glenn Murray, the goal getter, and we've got the goal stopper or goalkeeping coach Jack Stern. You're looking at each other from opposite sides of the divide. Jack, you're the first team goalkeeping coach here. Big workload, busy days, but you've had a lot of success.
Yeah. But we've overseen sort of over the last few years, bringing goalkeepers in, moving goalkeepers on, adapting to. It's obviously Roberto's playing style, which was a big thing to do. I think the goalkeepers were ready for that, and I was ready for that. But it's still, the way he works and what he wants and how demanding he is was certainly an adaptation when he first came in. So yeah, we like to think we've had some good success. We tried to do things maybe a little bit differently this year as well. But yeah, we can always be better as well, and we're looking towards the future to be stronger all the time.
You've tried to build up a strong reservoir of goalkeepers, haven't you? You've tried to create not exactly a line of succession, but strength in depth in that position. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Going right down to the academy, what we want to do, and that was kind of true of Rob, and Rob came through the academy, is produce our own goalkeepers as much as possible, and sort of mix that with, if we see the opportunity to bring what we consider special talent in as well, then we'll do that as well. But we want to be self-sufficient in that area. I think if we want goalkeepers that play with our identity and that care about the club and care about what we stand for and our culture, and I think to do that, if you can bring them through the academy or at least bring them through from the ages of 16, 17, I think we can produce goalkeepers that we feel comfortable and proud to say that's a Brighton goalkeeper.
Goalkeeping coaching has changed so much, hasn't it? Everyone would just think you worked with the first team keepers and that was your job done and you went home and that was it. But it is all about that succession planning and getting the right types in early doors and hopefully making it to the stage where they do work with you day in, day out. But you're involved in that process from the start, aren't you?
Yeah, and the club's set up in such a great way that there's, there's a recruitment department. Obviously, Gigi, who you spoke to before on this podcast, in terms of the loans and the pathways. So I get lots of help, and I'm not responsible solely for any of that. But definitely, it's a big part of my job is to assist and aid with that, and to have plans for the guys. And obviously, it's well known that we loan out a lot of goalkeepers. So at the moment, James and Carl playing in the Championship, and keeping track of how they're doing. Also being involved in recruitment and looking ahead, what's next, where might we lose a goalkeeper for whatever reason, how do we replace that? So it's definitely a bigger role than purely just coaching the first team goalkeepers, but that's enjoyable as well. And, a little bit, I've done that in other clubs as well, but certainly special to me to do it here, where it's a club that obviously I supported as a kid, so to be involved in kind of future proofing us as much as possible as well, it's exciting.
Long gone are the days of ex goalkeepers probably a little bit overweight, not doing much out on a training field. I mean, now a goalkeeping coach is, you've got to be athletic, elite at what you do, forward thinking. That for me we talk about how much football has changed in so many aspects when you talk about analysis and the way we develop players. I honestly think that one role has changed so much from what was the start of my career to now.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Thanks for the compliments about being athletic and elite. And
it's true. No, but I can remember having goalkeeping coaches that could barely kick a ball.
Yeah, but me too, coming through. And when, yeah, you maybe work once or twice a week with, yeah, and you know, maybe an older overweight guy who would just smash the ball at you. So yeah, it's changed completely. And I've been lucky in a sense to see that process of when I was young and a player and the access that I had to goalkeeper coaching and seeing what it was like. So even when I started as a coach in, you know, sort of 2010 was when I took my first coaching role. Even from that time, it's changed so much in terms of the role and what you're expected to do. But also the way we train is so different, you know, moving from, you know, the last maybe 10, 15 years ago, a lot of goalkeeper training was very static. It was volleying the ball into people's hands and simple things like that. Whereas now, you know, based on what we do to research the opposition and using sort of stats and analysis of what a goalkeeper actually has to do in a game, that's changed a lot as well into more live practices, more practices that look like the game. So it's changed so much since I've been a coach, but I think for the better. But what I like is I've seen this, we could call it an old school style of goalkeeper coaching, and I've seen, you know, the newer style of goalkeeper coaching. And what I try and do is bring some of that together, because what goalkeepers were doing for 60 years before, it wasn't all wrong. You know, there were still really good goalkeepers, and goalkeeper coaching is obviously a lot younger than actual goalkeeping, but there were good things going on 20, 25 years ago. So I think you try and, it's almost like a bit of a hybrid model. You try and look at all of the modern trends and those good things, but also keep some of the basics and the fundamentals that have been around in the game forever.
So you can't allow them to get overloaded with the tactical stuff and passing out from the back and seeing the pitch and all the rest of it. You have to keep their minds still focused on keeping the ball out of the net, don't you?
Yeah, and that's obviously a big challenge here because of the way that Roberto wants us to play, which is the way that we all want to play, and we see the success of it. So managing training and what we prioritise and what we do at certain times, that's a big part of it. So it's a lot of planning, but I think a lot of that comes with having good communication with the outfield coaches. So, you know, with Roberto, with all of his staff, with Andrew Crofts, like we mix, again, something that would have been more common 10 years ago is a goalkeeper works for 60 minutes on their own, and then they go with the team to maybe do some small-sided games or finishing. Whereas now, we'll sometimes work 20 minutes specifically goalkeeping, and then they'll go into boxes and rondos, possessions, and that's a big part of what we do. And it's really important to have that integration, because those are things that, whilst we do work in possession a lot with the goalkeepers isolated, some of the things that they need to do, like reading cues, reading space, all of that, that can only really be done when they've got the team in front of them. And so mixing that's really important.
And you are one of those new breed of coaches, similar to Mikey Harris, who went into coaching from a much earlier age and have sort of gone down that route and focused on that for a longer period. Yeah. So now at your age, whereas a lot of goalkeepers could just be stepping in, yeah, you've got so much more experience.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that I was aware of from a young age. So obviously my dream when I was young was to be a goalkeeper, be a professional goalkeeper. And I had enough sort of sense around me and enough good people around me to realise that by the age of 19, 20, I knew that was probably not going to be a route for me. I wasn't good enough. But I knew that I wanted to stay in the game. So early on was able to recognise, well, how can I stay in the game? I'm not just staying in the game. I wanted to reach the top. You know, I wanted to be the best I could be, like so many people do. And I had to sort of study how can I do that. And goalkeeper coaching was still quite in its infancy. But I made the decision at about 20, okay, I'm going to be a goalkeeper coach. And how do I go about to be the best goalkeeper coach I can be? And so that's been a good journey. And I think that's helped me. Obviously, the disadvantage is I don't have a playing career, because a playing career, whilst it doesn't mean you're going to be a great coach, it certainly has advantages. You've experienced those situations. You've had an upbringing in the game. But I guess, yeah, it's enabled me to get ahead at my age. And yeah, it's something that people often talk about, because when I was in MLS, I was the youngest first-team goalkeeper coach there. Now the youngest first-team goalkeeper coach in the Premier League. And I don't feel young, because I've done 15 years of coaching, but my coaching age is a lot older than my actual age. So yeah, it's definitely something that I'm proud to be where I am now at 36. So it's helped going into coaching early and going through a real process.
We should talk a bit about that, because you have been around the block and you've worked your way up to this job, haven't you? You were at West Brom, you were in Montreal and Cincinnati,
yeah,
and then back to Brighton. So when you go abroad like that, it's a gamble, isn't it? You know, you could be forgotten about here, certainly, yeah, and it might not work out for you there. Did it feel like a gamble to go to the States or to Canada?
Yeah, I mean, it did. Certainly the people around me at West Brom thought that I was a bit crazy at the time, because I had a very stable job in the academy there. And there was potentially a really good pathway there, you know, for my coaching. The academy manager at the time, who I still speak to today, he was like, what are you doing? Why are you going to an MLS club when you're here at a Premier League club at the time in the academy? It's all set out for you. But I think you've got to take risks as well. And once the opportunity came to go to Montreal and kind of set things up there as well. West Brom, it was a fantastic academy that's produced lots of players. You know, the current West Brom first choice goalkeeper was from the academy at the time that I was there. It's a really good academy, but going to an MLS academy that was very young, you have the opportunity to create something and to set something up. So for me, that was, yeah, I just thought, let's do it. When you get an opportunity, sometimes it might not even feel like the exact right time. You think, oh, maybe one more year here, but you've got to. And I've always lived my life in that way. When an opportunity comes, you got to take it, and you've got to make that decision quite quickly and then just go all in.
That wasn't your first time over the water, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Talking about meeting my wife or going to college there?
Going to college.
Okay.
Yeah, but it sort of, for someone that's never been out there,
yeah,
I think you'd have a very different perspective on it to someone that's actually been there.
Yeah, yeah.
And spent, not just on holiday, obviously, spent a lot of time there and understand their structure and how they work.
Yeah, that definitely helped. And I could see, so obviously I went to college on a scholarship to play in the States in South Carolina. And that already gave me an insight into how soccer worked in North America and the facilities that they had and the excitement around the sport at that time. It was a similar
potential.
The potential, exactly. That was a similar time to when, just a few years before, David Beckham had gone there. So it was becoming, you know, a big thing. And again, the chance to step in, to come out of my comfort zone, to push myself as a coach, have new experiences. And you've used the word, and I use it there as well, create something, be part of creating something. Was that every step that I've made in my career, I've always wanted to, yeah, can I make a difference here? Can I create something? Or if I can't create something, can I help this on in a new or better direction?
They don't sing it, but they could. Jack Stone is one of our own. I mean, you're a Sussex man from Heathfield. You went to games at the Goldstone Ground, and you were a season ticket holder at the Withdean. You even ran on the pitch, didn't you?
I did, to celebrate with Ben Roberts.
Oh, really?
He was in goal.
So he went straight for the goalkeeper.
Yeah, penalty shootout against Swindon. Yeah, he doesn't remember it, but it's always like a funny little, I'm not sure, a sliding doors moment, but that moment when, you run on to celebrate with the goalkeeper of the club, and then, what was it, 10, 15 years later, he calls you up to offer you a job at the club. It was really nice. But yeah, Brighton's been in my blood from a really, really young age, you know, a very different club back then to what it is now. But
so were you in touch with Ben Roberts between running on the pitch to congratulate him and him phoning you? Or was,
yes, yeah.
You
it
were,
wasn't,
right?
Oh, you were the kid that ran on to celebrate. No.
That's a shame. You've ruined the story now.
No, it's good. I did my goalkeeping B licence, UEFA B licence in 2011. And obviously I was a young coach at the time. I would have been 22 or so. I was working at West Brom. And I met Ben on that. He was doing that course as well. Wasn't at Brighton yet. I think he was at Charlton at the time. And we got on and shared some of the same ideas. And we hit it off. And then we just stayed in touch. And I would, the MLS season runs through the summer. So always in our off season was around Christmas. I'd always come back and visit Ben whenever possible, come in and watch sessions here. Some of the ways that I work now still stem from those conversations that me and Ben had sort of 5-10 years ago. So we had a good relationship already and we stayed in touch. And then when this role became available, it was something that I was, we spoke about it and it worked out.
I mean, as far as taking over from someone, he set the bar really high, didn't he?
Incredibly high, yeah. And that's why, you know, the success we've had over the last couple of years, and we look at like James Beadle and Kyle Rushworth, and they're coming through, and it's exciting. And you know, people will look at Brighton as a goalkeeper department, and you know, say what a great job's going on there, and how much success we're having. But you know, that stems from the work that Ben did before me, and that was very much for me when Ben left. I felt that as sort of my personal challenge is can I continue what Ben's created here, because it was really excellent. All the building blocks were in place from the excellent job that Ben had done. So I felt a sense of responsibility almost when he left, of, you know, there's so much good things going on here. Like, now I've got to step up and make sure that all of those good things continue. And that year and a half working with Ben was invaluable, because I got to watch how he works, how he does things. I learned a lot in that period of time. And then when he did go, felt ready to step up. And I would have preferred he'd stayed for longer, because it was great to work with him. But yeah, again, timing, when he did go, I felt ready to step up and continue his work. But it's always really important to me to mention Ben, because like where we're at as a club with our goalkeepers, that doesn't happen without the work that Ben's done for years before me.
The official Brighton and Hove Albion podcast.
I read an interview where you said that the goalkeeper pretty much has to understand the game better than anyone else on the pitch. They have to understand, they have to spot overloads, they have to spot what the opposition are doing, where the free man is in their own team, whether it's better to play short or go slightly longer. And you talked about the mental and tactical understanding, that the demands on the modern goalkeeper being huge. And it does look that way from the stands. And you wonder whether sometimes goalkeepers get overloaded with having two jobs at once. In fact, probably 10 jobs at once.
Yeah.
You can't just stand between the posts, can you, waiting to stop a shot?
Absolutely not. And you know, it's the same when we assess them after games. I'm sure there'll be games that fans watch or anyone watches and thinks, well, quiet day for the goalkeeper there. They didn't have much to do. Like even Burnley at the weekend, you know, there was obviously one goal conceded, but didn't have to make lots of big saves or actions. But actually, you know, we're going through those clips earlier in the week with Bart. There's you know, 25 minutes worth of clips to go through in terms of what he had to do off the ball and being in the build-up. So yeah, that sort of tactical understanding, that mental load is huge. And again, it's become a much bigger part of the game is all those other actions that you don't necessarily see, the positioning. So that's also defending like the goal in the area. So crosses and shots, what position were they in? Were they in a positive position? What did they do on the ball, even off the ball, in terms of support? So yeah, there's so many things that go into it. But honestly, the goalkeepers we have, they enjoy that. They wouldn't want it any other way. I think they're not goalkeepers that want to play in a team that they just stand on their line and try and make five, six saves a game. They really buy into this is a big role being a Brighton Hove Albion goalkeeper.
Talking about the goalkeepers we've got, obviously Bart Verbruggen and Jason Steele, it's been a pretty hot topic throughout this Premier League year that we have, well, Roberto's decided to chop and change and play each one at equal amount of times. How, as the goalkeeping coach and the man behind the scenes, have you developed that relationship with them? And just because usually at a football club, you have a number one, you have a number two, and everyone knows where they stand. Yeah. Whereas this is very different, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it was something I thought a lot about when Roberto made that decision in the summer, and we made it together. But when he clearly made that decision, straight away for me, I'm thinking, well, how do we handle this? Because it's a situation that hasn't really been, you know, done before. I think straight away for me, it was important that we had the mindset, so myself and the other goalkeepers, that we had the mindset, we're in this together. We're a team within a team. And, you know, Jason, your success will also be Bart's success and vice versa. And you need two, and obviously we've got Tom McGill as well, who supports that fantastically. But in Jason and Bart, you need two fantastic people to do that, two people who are selfless, of course have their own ambitions and want to play every week, but also buy into the fact that we're a team, we'll support each other, and yeah, like I said, that our success is shared. So I think that was really important. I think also being very sort of honest about it and almost trying to break down the taboo of if you're not playing, you've been dropped, or if you're not playing, you're not good enough. And I think we set that out early because Jason played the first two Premier League games and he had two excellent games and we won 4-1 and 4-1. And then the next game, Bart came in to play. And I think hopefully, you know, that sent a message of you won't come out of the team because you played badly. You'll come out of the team because we're rotating. Likewise, goalkeepers have played two or three good games and then come out of the team. And I think making sure that we stuck to our principles with that and we were honest about it is kind of how we've managed to make it a success. And I know a lot of people probably think it hasn't been a success because, you know, maybe this season we haven't quite reached the heights that we did last year in the league. But when you look at it from an individual standpoint for both of them, Bart, when he came to us, had played 20, 22 professional games. It was important not to expose him. And, you know, we've seen what happened to James Trafford, who's a top, top young goalkeeper, but playing every week for a team that was struggling. And now he's come out of the team and yeah, it's quite difficult to deal with. Whereas for Bart, he's had the opportunity to progress, to play Premier League games, FA Cup games, League Cup games and play in Europe, you know, and that was huge for him. But at the same time, also Jason's had a year in which he's played more games in the Premier League than he ever has done before and played in Europe. And so I think we've managed for both of them to continue their progression. They've helped each other a lot as well. And I think they've helped the team a lot as well, certainly in how we assess what success is for a Brighton goalkeeper in terms of how they help with the build-up and the tactical side of things as well.
You talked about the strength of the goalkeeping department. I saw that you said there were about 100 goalkeepers on your radar when you signed Bart Verbruggen. That's a big number, and I think a lot of fans would be surprised at that. They wouldn't be surprised at the amount of research you'd have had to do to identify 100 possible
98
recruits.
98 of them were no good.
Well, listen, honestly, in that 100 goalkeepers, there was probably, you know, 40 or 50 that we knew very early on wouldn't fit. And it's not necessarily that we had 100 goalkeepers for that number one role here at Brighton or a starting goalkeeper at Brighton, but we have like a big database of goalkeepers that we watch and that we do reports on. So we had a big sort of, you know, a big pool of goalkeepers. And then we, you know, process that down as we start to consider different things and get further along that process. But you know, the recruitment side of things here has been really good. And again, I mentioned Ben, but I should also mention Matt Parker, who is the analyst at the time that we signed Bart, and his work was crucial in that as well. And together we identified Bart as, you know what, this can fit perfectly. It was kind of like a light bulb moment when we watched him a number of times and start to think, well, what does the club need as a goalkeeper over the next 5 years? But also, what does Roberto need now? And he just fit the bill perfectly. And yeah, we were really happy to get that done.
How rewarding is it and nice when you do all this background work and, like you say, you've got a database of 100 goalkeepers and you narrow that down and you decide at the start of the season, Bart is the one.
Yeah.
And he's only had, what, 22 appearances, you said. So very, very young and inexperienced. How nice is it from your point of view when you see him doing so well in the Premier League on a regular basis now and that you actually did make that right choice?
Yeah, obviously that's really satisfying, and I'm proud of Bart and proud of the work he's done this year. And yeah, when you do all of that research and you have to make those decisions, and obviously it was, you know, a considerable amount of money as well. So, you know, at some point I had to, you know, really say, yes, we really believe in the club. And if the club are prepared to make this outlay, we think he can be really successful. So, yeah, you put your neck on the line a little bit. But honestly, with Bart, I never had a doubt. Never had a doubt, and he's still got so much work to do. He's not the finished product yet, and he needs to improve in certain ways as well. But I never really had a doubt with him, because you know he's got as much as you can, the full package for a goalkeeper. But I think a massive thing with Bart as well is when me and Sam Jewell, I keep mentioning people that have gone to Chelsea, by the way, I should probably stop. Yeah. But when me and Sam went out to meet him, we're really interested in what's he like as a person, like what feel do we get off of him. And that was probably the biggest thing. We knew how talented he was, but then we also knew there was another 10-15 goalkeepers who were a similar sort of talent level to him. But his mindset, his attitude, his support network around him was so strong that I think that's such a big part of the battle is mentally how is the goalkeeper and how are they going to be to work with and how are they going to take on information. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, where, listen, Bart's got all these attributes, all these tools, but on top of all of that, he's got a really, really strong head. And yeah, so I never really had any doubts with Bart, but obviously it's good to confirm that, but yeah, we were pretty sure with Bart.
And it must have been satisfying to see Jason Steele take such a big step up so brilliantly when he had to make it. He was, you know, he was ready, he was prepared, he was, you know, mentally tough enough to do it, wasn't he? I mean, that must have been great to see for you.
Incredible to be in that process with Jason, where you see him, you know, go from being, you know, a really good squad member and a goalkeeper who trains really well but wasn't necessarily close to starting games for us, or, you know, unless there was an injury or suspension. To go through that process of winning and to see how he took his opportunities. So, listen, we all played a part in that, and, you know, Ben before and, you know, and me now, and obviously Roberto was a massive part of that process of getting, you know, Jason to play regularly. But the person that deserves the most credit is Jason, because he took that opportunity with both hands. And, you know, he did so much work that people won't know about. You know, I know he was on here as well, and he mentioned, you know, early on, you know, he came up to me and asked for clips of Trubin, who is, you know, the Gaffer's former goalkeeper. So he put so much work in himself, and you know, I think even, you know, to be part of that process of seeing him realise I can do this and seeing his confidence grow all of the time, it's so pleasing and so happy for him. And it's nice to see great things like that happen to great people. And I always thought with me and Jason, it's funny, because when I came to the club, I was assistant goalkeeper coach. Jason was, you know, the second choice goalkeeper. And we've kind of shared that journey together a little bit since Roberto came. So no, I cannot emphasize enough how well Jason's done and how proud we all are of him as a, you know, as a club.
When you talk about the two goalkeepers, their situations are so different, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like Jason's obviously older, Bart's just coming through, so to manage that must be using all your experiences that you've had previously to I suppose when you look at Jason as the elder goalkeeper, more often than not in football clubs the elder one usually starts, and then to manage that hunger that Bart's got, so that must have taken everything you've got and learned as a coach over the years.
Yeah, definitely. But it was a nice challenge, and I've always had the mentality. Listen, I went into coaching without the playing career, so I was 21 and already working around first team goalkeepers. I remember being part of first team goalkeeper sessions with like Ben Foster at West Brom and Dean Kiley at a young age. So I knew that to get respect from those people, I didn't have the career to fall back on. So I had to show that I was good, but also had to show that I was good to work with and I'd listen. And I think a big part of my coaching has been also listening to the goalkeepers that I work with and using their experiences. I always say to the goalkeepers, it's not, I'm not the coach and they're the goalkeepers. It's a collaboration between us. And I learn things from Jason. I learn things from Bart. You know, we all learn things from each other. So I think tapping into all of that experience, Jason's experience, incredible, the way he's helped Bart this year. Bart wouldn't be where he's at without that support as well. And likewise for Jason, because he's got such a growth mindset, he's looking at Bart and thinking, you know, there's some things here that are interesting as well. And you know, Bart can help him in different ways as well. So it's really all about, and I think that sums us up as a club as well. It's not just the goalkeeping department. We all use each other in the best ways. We support each other and we learn from each other. And we're all sort of going along this process together.
And as the goalkeeping coach and as a person, you're quite positive, aren't you? You've always got a big smile. You're always very welcoming. You're always engaging. How important do you think that is as a coach, but more importantly as a goalkeeping coach? Because obviously, listen, so many people make mistakes out there on a Saturday afternoon or whatever.
Yeah.
But a goalkeeper's mistakes are highlighted to the extremity, aren't they? So how important do you feel as though your demeanour and your attitude every day is for them?
Yeah, hopefully it helps. And, you know, there's days when I know that maybe I might even have to up the energy and up the positivity. And there's days also when I can read the mood and read the room where I might step back a little bit more as well. And that's just the experience that you get from being a coach. And I think, especially with the situation this year and having to work with, you know, two goalkeepers that are playing and then coming out of the team, that's been important. That personal relationship with the goalkeepers is so big, and a lot of the stuff, again, that people don't see, but making sure that they're in a good space mentally, being really honest with them as well, that's so important. So never trying to you know, cover things up or dress things up in another way. Like, these are decisions that have been made and this is how we're going to need to deal with it. You know, mistakes in a game, that's happened. We learn from it, we move on, look at the positives that have gone on as well. So I think really being honest, and for me, it's, a lot of people say that about me, how positive I am and smiling. And that's how I like to be, because I'm doing a job that I love for a club that I love. There's once I step through the doors at the training ground, you know, what really have I got to complain about or to not be happy about? So I think that's really important. But also at times in private, when I'm with the goalkeepers, knowing when to be, you know, or when I might have to be a little bit harder or tell the truth. And I think that's an important part of it. It's so much being a coach is, yeah, like a little bit like being a psychologist. My wife's a psychologist, so I tap into what she does as well. And just about trying to help them as people, and then the rest comes after that.
What do goalkeeping coaches have nightmares about?
Ooh, yeah, conceding goals.
Bad performances. Goals conceded, about that.
I mean, that's something that will never go away. Like you mentioned earlier, ultimately, the goalkeeper's job is keep the ball out of the net. And the more that they can do that, and the more clean sheets you keep, the better the result is going to be for the team, the more that you're going to help the team. So, I think, you know, mistakes and that can weigh on your mind. And you know, a lot of people made a big thing of the clean sheet, you know, thing earlier. It took us a long time to get that first clean sheet. It was against West Ham, I think, at the end of December with Jason. That didn't bother us too much. Of course, like you've got to be honest. Of course, we want to keep clean sheets. But again, I was going back to with the goalkeepers, what else are we doing to help the team? Like, you know, how much are we helping in possession tactically? I won't say I had nightmares about the clean sheets, but early on, but that was something that you were aware of.
It was almost a lot of outside noise, wasn't it?
It's the outside, yeah, and you don't pay too much attention to that, but it was something like, well, we were relatively happy to get the monkey off our back at that point.
Viv Anderson told me once that when he made his debut for Nottingham Forest, Brian Clough said to him, your job, young man, is to keep that ball out of my net.
Yeah.
So it's not just the goalkeeper's responsibility, is it?
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's something that again, I talked about the goalkeepers being a team and Jason supporting Bart and their success being shared. The same with the whole team. You know, we attack with the goalkeepers. That's what the build-up is for. It's purely for how can we start from the back to go and score a goal. It's never about keeping possession. And so when we score goals, that's partly due to the goalkeeper as well. And when we concede goals, it's part of the goalkeeper's job, but also it's the striker's job and how have they defended from the front and you don't like that, do you?
Well, Glenn's recoiling now.
but it's the whole team and we try and see, you know, that's definitely, and I think that helps us here at the club, is no one's lauded too much for their individual success. You know, all of our success is shared and that's how it has to be. So, you know, when we keep a clean sheet, you're just as happy for the back line, for Dunkey, for JP, for Webby, for those centre backs, for everyone in the team, it's the same feeling. You know, Pascal is buzzing when we keep a clean sheet, just as much as the goalkeepers. The same as when we win 4-3. Yeah, we might be disappointed about the goals, but we're elated that, you know, the goalkeepers played a part in that in winning the game. You know.
Thank you, Jack. I think people will learn an awful lot from listening to this podcast, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's been insightful.
Thanks for your company and, you know, good luck for the rest of the season.
No, pleasure. Thanks, guys. Really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed that, Paul. I thought it was very insightful. What struck me is how hard mentally it is for goalkeepers.
Yeah, I look at goalkeepers now and I think they've got two jobs rather than one. They're playmakers and they're shot stoppers. And the extra responsibility of that must be huge. They can make mistakes in two departments, one letting a goal in that they shouldn't let in, and secondly, misplacing a pass that ends up in the back of their net. So, yeah, pressure's on modern goalkeepers.
A position that has very much changed over the years. And we've got more great interviews from the coaching team here at the Amex in our back catalogue, from the likes of Mikey Harris and Inigo Calderon. And to get a true perspective of life as a pro goalkeeper here at Brighton, listen back to our conversation with the excellent Jason Steele.
That's it from us. See you next time.
The official Brighton and Hove Albion podcast. Sports Social Podcast Network.